Hey, hi, welcome back. I guess we're back. Hi, welcome back to the Fired Up with CJ show. Today we have a wonderful guest who actually is related to our previous guest, John Array. They're both from Asheville, North Carolina. And what we're going to be talking about, which actually, oddly, I've been thinking a great deal about, is inner strength. And the question that our current guest, Maureen Healy, had asked herself was, why do Tibetans who have been exiled from their country still seem so strong and optimistic? And what do they have that we may not have? And so Maureen Healy, who traveled around the world to South Asia, London, and other places, speaking to parents to figure out the answer to this question. And what was the main thing that they have that we don't have?
You know, it's not, it's just a belief system. It's, you know, every day they do things that help them believe that they have a power within themselves greater than anything in the external world. So it's really, you know, from my standpoint, I went over there because I wanted to know, is this a gift from great parents? Is it genetic? Or is it something like a skill that we can all build? And happily, I found out that it's a skill that we can all not only become happier, but we can root confidence on the inside, which will develop inner strength, inner resilience, inner confidence. The same, they're all the same things.
Right. So in some ways, it's like the foundation that they were, the foundation and the ideals that were instilled on them, upon them, you know, from an early age that we can, as parents, do for our children. And it's teachable, which I love. And one of the things that I've been contemplating myself a lot is the question that you ask in the, or the portion of your book that you talk about self-esteem and confidence and the difference between those two. I've been just thinking and thinking and thinking about that. And it's, and oddly in my life, it's been coming up more and more. 3-4 times during a day, people will be taking the same concept and bringing it up. And it's a really important distinction. Can you share with our audience the difference between self-esteem and confidence?
Absolutely. Confidence is, how would I describe it? Okay, confidence is mastering tasks. So it could be mastering something in the outside world, which I would call outer confidence. Whether if you were a child, you'd be kicking a soccer into the soccer goal. Or if you're an adult, perhaps you are learning how to make a Thanksgiving dinner for 25 people. That's sort of mastering those tasks in the outer world. That would be outer confidence. Inner confidence is knowing within you that you have the power and capability no matter what to succeed. So the idea is that confidence is, it is a thinking and a feeling response, and it can be in the present or the future, meaning I'm confident that today I can write an article. I'm confident in the future I can write a book. For kids, it would be, I'm confident today that I can study my spelling, you know, words. I'm confident, you know, in the future I can get a B or better in your spelling exam. So the idea is it's that confidence in the present moment or in the future. Well, self-esteem is different, and I probably should have started with self-esteem, but self-esteem comes before confidence, and self-esteem is a little more simple. It's not thinking and emotional. Self-esteem is really an emotional response to one point in time, and it's about liking yourself. So it's like it's genuinely just about liking yourself, giving yourself that unconditional sense of love and appreciation no matter what, whether you, you know, fell off your bike or you broke your arm or you, you know, I don't know what, you know, whatever, you borrowed some piece of clothing from your sister and you weren't supposed to. It's really liking yourself. So self-esteem is really the foundation for positive emotional health, and confidence builds upon self-esteem, where you can master outer tasks and then inner tasks and move forward in your life feeling, believing, knowing that you're capable, that you have power, that you can succeed. Oftentimes when we're young kids, we give our power away. We go, oh, my parents know better. Oh, my school system knows better. Oh, but the idea is that we want them to believe that they're powerful and they're capable, and that, yes, there are things you need to do. You got to go to school. There's different things you need to do, but you have that sense of ability within you to persevere and progress, and also, you know, to work on liking yourself. So many people, you know, for whatever reasons, we've kind of come through different experiences where we, you know, thought, oh, I'm not good enough, I, you know, whatever things that are running in our mind. So the idea is to really learn how to unconditionally love and accept ourselves, and that really helps us persevere.
And I think that, you know, whether, and it's funny because when we had talked earlier, you had said, hey, adults need this too. You know, I can't even tell you how many times I've run across adults where it's like, yeah, I think I need to work on self-love, right? And that's basically what you're saying as part of self-esteem is self-love. And then also this notion of power, knowing that you have the inner power and to choose the inner power to decide what you think. Those are the kinds of things that, you know, we're learning our whole lives, whether it's kids or adults. That's kind of interesting. So in your book, Growing Happy Kids, you talk about five building blocks that you need to create confidence. Can you share those with the audience?
Sure. And like you just mentioned, it's a system, five building blocks of confidence. And like Jonah Ray, it brings together spirituality and science. So the idea is to, you know, start with the foundation, which is physical. You know, we need kids and ourselves to eat right, sleep well, get the right nutrition. It's exercise. So the first block is actually physical. So when your body and your brain is working for you, you can proceed into other. For example, if you're depressed, there's no way your brain chemistry is off and there's no way to feel confident. So it's really physical is the first block and it's the foundation.
In your book, you call it biology. So it's right. Like if you don't have like a healthy brain chemistry or you have issues of depression, it's hard to kind of build off of confidence if you don't have those things. Is that the idea?
It's not only hard, it's absolutely impossible. So right. Yeah, you absolutely need to get your brain chemistry and your body working for you. And then you can go on to the next block, which is beliefs. Need to have we have to believe that within us, you know, we're capable, that we can succeed, that we are valuable and that we are, you know, it's not about being, you know, overly confident or being overly confident and arrogant. It's not saying, oh, I can do everything. It's saying, hey, let's have a healthy sense of belief system that if I apply and I put effort into something that I'm capable, I can do a lot of different things. So it's believing in yourself.
Right. I can do it. I can do it. Yeah. I know I can do it. I don't know how I know, but I know that
right.
kind of
attitude. Right. And at least saying, you know, I know I'm going to give it my best shot. Whether you make a mistake or you fail, that doesn't really matter. The point is that you're willing to believe that you have it in yourself to, you know, progress, to try different things, to learn new things, to, you know, to really persevere in this world. Because we all know it takes a lot of inner strength. And that, you know, not every single day feels like it goes your way, but, you know, we're learning along the way. So first it's, you know, like you said, biology is the first block. Then it's believing. Say it's a young child doing a hula hoop. You know, it's certainly if they believe they can learn how to hula hoop, they can do it, right? They can try it. And then it would lead to the third block where they say, wow, I did that. And you would feel confident.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that emotion of confidence is really intensifying the belief. So it's really strengthening that belief.
And that's the third. So it's biology, belief, and then is the third one the emotional belief in it?
The third one is just the emotions. You know, we all know that when you walk out of the beauty salon and you look fantastic,
you
feel great. And that's that emotion of confidence. So. And that would be outer confidence because that's something on the outside world. But nonetheless, you know, we live in the outside world and we need to turn our children inwards so that they know that that confidence comes from within, that power comes from within. But confidence is a feeling, you know, when you're about to go on, on a stage and give a talk as an adult, if you feel confident about it, it's easier for you. You know, it's that feeling.
And we have a couple more minutes. What are the other two?
Sure. Biology, beliefs, emotions, and then social, meaning, you know, the people in your children's lives, whether they're coaches, teachers, peers, they can nurture in your children that belief that within them is that power and that capability. So that's a social confidence feedback loop, but it's called social. And then the last one is spiritual. And this isn't a requirement for confidence, but it is a source for many. Certainly it's a source for myself. And it expands confidence to the capacity, meaning if you believe that within you there is a divine spark, there is a, you know, you can use any theology, Christ consciousness, Buddhist seed, whatever it may be, there's that power within you, that divine presence that gives someone confidence. And that's wonderful.
Yeah, so the five building blocks, biology, making sure that, you're eating right, exercising, sleeping, correcting any brain, chemical imbalances. You need that in order to build confidence. Beliefs, making sure that you believe it, but even beyond that, feeling like you're confident, feeling the social reinforcement for other folks, and then spiritually knowing deep inside everything is okay, I'm perfect. These are the five building blocks that are in growing happy kids. And I wanted to talk to you in the next segment. We're going to be talking to Maureen Healy, who you can find at growinghappykids.com. We're going to be talking about how to raise a sensitive kid. I have one. I think I am one. I think you're one. I am one. And I have one. So we're going to learn all about how to raise sensitive kids, how to work with sensitive people. That will be up next. And make sure to listen to all the Fired Up with CJ shows on parenting. We have stuff on bullying, ADHD, your kid's sex life, and more by going over to www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit us at drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
Just stop what you are thinking right now and ask yourself, if I could have anything I desired, what would it be? Now expand that energy beyond anything you have ever imagined. That energy, that is you. What if you could have access to that all the time? Curing the incurable are for those that desire a different possibility with their life and their body. Does that excite your molecules? Well, check out Liam's website at liamphillips.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Welcome back, everybody. So who out there cannot stand having those tags in back of your shirt that make you feel like itchy and sit around poking at the back of your shirt? Or who out there really likes quiet places and when they're in noisy environments kind of feel jittery? Yep. The highly sensitive, and sometimes they're called shy or highly emotional. Sometimes they're called CJ and Maureen. Today, our guest Maureen Healy, who blends psychology and spirituality, shares with us her 20 years of expertise working with children and is here today really trying to help us understand the highly sensitive child or human being. Welcome, Maureen.
Thank you. Thank you.
So how do you define, you know, is there a psychological term for highly sensitive, or is this highly sensitive people just create this term for ourselves?
Well, you know, there's that book that came out about a decade ago, The Highly Sensitive Child. And, you know, it is a real thing, raising kids and as well highly sensitive people, that they have a highly, what we would consider a highly aware and responsive nervous system. And that their sensory, like you mentioned earlier, you know, we're just more sensitive to light, sound, smell, all that sensory input. And raising a highly sensitive child today, I know because that's my specialty. I work a lot with parents and children directly on Skype and phone and all those types of things. But it takes a lot of not only patience, but understanding their mindset, understanding their learning styles, understanding how they approach the world, which is completely different than what I would say maybe some more mainstream kids. And often it comes out in different ways and maybe a meltdown, and you really, you know, it's we really need to do a different level of understanding and giving them the tools to deal with their sensitivity so they can succeed.
So what do we need to know about their mindset and learning styles and approach so that we can allow them to succeed?
Well, that's a whole new book, but but you know, I mean, I guess a simple thing to do is, you know, when I have found in my own life and in my own practice that, you know, the people that are the hardest to love need it the most. So often these kids are having a meltdown or screaming or acting anything but sensitive, but they are highly sensitive and they just don't know how to deal with their intense sensitivity and their emotions. So it's really helping them, you know, give them tools, whether it's deep breath, the meditation, a prayer, or different things. Go outside, jump on the trampoline for 10 minutes. They need to be able to manage their sensitivity, learn life skills, you know, skills, and learn how to succeed in this world through character development and other things. But they oftentimes, these kids don't fit into regular schools. The regular traditional, just because I said so, parenting doesn't work with them. So there's other approaches. And working with someone like myself or someone else who has this expertise is helpful because you learn ways to work with them where you have more success at home. You have more fun. The kids have more fun. I mean, it's not fun to raise a child that is, you know, you feel like they're always at odds with you. You really just need to approach them in a different way.
Okay, but this whole just say no, because sometimes my highly sensitive son does have these emotional kind of like, you know, feels like temper tantrums. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, he's way less occurrence than when he was younger. Like he would literally just cry and I would have no idea what he was crying for. But I think it was just out of being so overstimulated by our crazy household. And he would just like scream and cry and I'd just hold him.
Sure.
And give him love. And, you know, sometimes it's, you wonder whether, like, maybe I should just say no. Like, cut it out. Stop crying. You're getting too crazy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, because you're saying that there's this just say no approach. I mean, is there any time when the just say no approach makes sense?
Well, I mean, I think you're bringing up a very good point that, you know, studies have shown that positive and firm parenting is the most effective. So to be positive and firm, right? You know, you may say, hey, listen, you can't have that cookie now, or listen, you cannot watch television now, and I still love you. But also, what I'm saying is with highly sensitive kids, i.e. indigo kids, if you're in the metaphysical world, they're kids that have such a keen sense of an awareness that they pick up things without words. So they feel the emotions, the environment. And that you just want to create a space that honors who they are. We don't want cookie cutter kids. We don't want to make kids something they are not, but we want to give them the tools they need to succeed. So there's a balance between who you are, your approach, and also seeing that this child in front of you, you know, that there is this agreement between you. You have come in and you're that parent's child, whether grandmother, caregiver, teacher, whoever you may be, and you need to help them succeed in figuring out what does that really mean.
Yeah, and I think that that's really true, because I know that sometimes when our son is kind of acting up, I oftentimes forget, but when I'm conscious enough, I remember, now what's going on with me that he may be reacting to? Because, oh yeah, I'm going through, you know, I'm getting really stressed out, and my husband's stressed out. No wonder he's stressed out.
Right.
And you forget, I think, knowing that if your child's a highly sensitive child, you think, okay, I need to be really cautious and conscious of the environment that I'm providing, because I could be making his environment one that doesn't feel super comfortable. But at the same time, though, I wonder, well, oh, we ran out of time. That was the fastest 8 minutes ever. All right. So, folks, tell people how they reach you if they'd like to. If they have a highly sensitive child and they want to talk to you, your website, should they go to thegrowinghappykids.com, or do you have a different website for your practice?
No, that's my website, growinghappykids.com.
Okay, so they could actually book an appointment with you and talk to you on Skype if they have a highly sensitive child and want some more guidance. Is that
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Happy to help.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Maureen Healy. And thank you for everyone listening out there for your presence, your time, and your support. Join us next week when we continue our theme of back to school, and we're going to talk about two really fun topics. One is the science of picky eaters. By the way, don't you think they're sensitive people, right, Maureen? What makes a picky eater a picky eater, and what should you do? And what do you do if you have just a normal child, but you're contemplating medicating them because your doctor said you're rambunctious, loud, aberrant child who's causing problems in the classroom should be medicated. And you don't really think that that's it. And guess what they found, Maureen? A lot of it is environmental.
Right.
If you have a kid acting up in class and they're having tantrums, chances are they're probably a highly sensitive kid and they're reacting to your home environment. So before you start drugging them out, contemplate that it could be your environment or parenting style. And we'll talk a little bit about that next week. So folks out there, have a great weekend and make sure to tune in next week. Thank you so much, Maureen.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.